Thanks again to Carbon Health for being our presenting sponsor. If you are a regular here, you know I've talked about Carbon Health and how long I've talked about Carbon Health and why I love Carbon Health. They help with things like COVID, cold, flu testing, antibiotic prescriptions for things like infections, UTIs, STDs. They have primary care services in California and Massachusetts. But if you're new here, thank you, by the way, for stopping by. You should also know that they can help with injuries as well. Most of their locations have imaging or X-ray machines so they can diagnose strains, sprains, and fractures if you unfortunately become injured. And I know, unfortunately, not everyone will be near one of the 120-plus locations, but they do have virtual urgent care services for states like California, New York, Florida, and several others. So thank you to Carbon Health. Really, really happy to be working with them. Check out the link in the description. It's Wednesday. That's right. We got a big thing. That's tight. Great song. Really good song. They called me Biggie Smalls back in Queens. Nobody called me that. But that's all right. It's the big thing. See what I did there? Yep, I did. Why? Because I drank a lot of coffee. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We're going to talk about some Star Wars stuff. Hell yeah. We're going to talk about Deborah Chow talking about Obi-Wan Season 2, making it seem like it's possible. Is that a good thing, a bad thing? Skeleton Crew, list of all the writers coming up in this piece. Tamora Morrison, he might be playing Rex in Ahsoka. Good thing, bad thing? I think it's a good thing. That and more as far as Star Wars, and we have a few more questions. And as far as regular movie news, Henry Cavill giving the endorsement to Sasha Kale over at the Flash movie as Supergirl. We have the new Spider-Man movie. I saw it. Going to talk about that one for sure. And that's it, man. I got Steph and Mike with me here today on The Big Thing. So thanks for joining us. As always, please, if you haven't already, hit that button, man. Help us get to 100,000. We're approaching 80. It means a little 20 away. And we need your help. So do it. Going to be in New York, June 23rd. Get your tickets now. We're selling more and more. We're getting very close to selling out, finally. So get us. Get us those tickets. Yeah, sure. Send them to me. I'll be there. But get yourself some tickets as well. Live streaming also available at thechristianharloff.com. All right, let's get into it. It's the big thing. Me, Steph, and Mike, I'm ready. You're ready, too. That's why you're here. Let's do it. Welcome back, one and all, to the big thing. It's me. Us.
Ahoy!
Steph Sabra. Ahoy. Mike Allen.
I can't top that. I might even try.
Ahoy's a good one. What was it? Yeah, what was the...
Ahoy, matey!
That was my hook hand, too.
It's pretty good. I've done Ahoy, and I've done... what was the other one that I did? Was Howdy.
Howdy.
Howdy. Yeah, I'll throw in a Top of the Morning to you.
Top of the Morning to you. Yeah, you're pretty
top
Irish.
Top of the Morning to you.
Yeah, I'm Irish. Kalinowski
is pretty Irish.
Yeah, it's Irish.
Welcome back, Mike. It's been a month.
It has not been a month. It's been like 3 weeks ago. Shut your mouth. So yeah, we're doing news now. What's this?
Yeah, see, thanks for watching the show.
Mike, do you know how many times Christian's gone into bits of you and I was like, Mike's going to see it. He watches the
show.
You're
lucky I don't see it.
Why do you think I do it?
What are the bits? What do you got, bits?
Well, I did it.
Here comes comedy,
I did it in front of
comedy,
Frank Janish. I did it in front of
Frank Janish. That guy, that clown with his numbers.
No, he didn't do anything. He just listened, poor guy.
His numbers.
I'll do him.
Where's my belt?
Yeah, you want to see my impression? You want to see my impression of you?
Yeah, here we go.
No, ask me. No, ask me a question. I'm going to ask you a question about what are you most excited about with The Flash?
Keaton Batman, of course.
Why?
Why? Because that's my Batman.
Well, let me tell you something. The reason why I think that, if I can for a second, I think that the Keaton's great. I mean, Keaton's great. Bale did a lot of great stuff too. But I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish.
Okay. So what I was saying with, as I was going to say, Keaton.
Well, when I say a couple things too, and every once in a while I say.
Okay.
Pretty accurate. Right,
you work. What is this cord? You got to work this fucking. And I love how when I do, he's like, he throws it to me, and I know he's throwing it to me, and then I'll go into it, and he's just like, wait, I have anything to say now? No, I don't have anything to say now.
Are we back?
Are we back?
We're back. It's my favorite. Nice, awkward pause for the good pretzel in your mouth and everything. It's great radio. Mm-hmm. It's great
You're
radio.
Giving very much, like, get off my lawn energy.
Does he ever not?
You're just now figuring this out about me?
That's what I love about him. He knows himself.
But yeah, I am the Ron Swanson of The Big Thing.
You really are.
It's so good.
Truth. No,
someone called me Ron Swanson once, and I'm like, yeah, that's me.
I hate to admit it, but I do miss when you're not here. I hate to miss
it. I agree.
I add the zhuzh to it.
Yeah.
If that's what you call it.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I had the Polish sausage.
Yeah, well, that's what she said. Okay, let's get into
off the rails
some of these topics. And as we, Mike is now going to know about this as well. So the last couple of weeks, we started doing a thing on Wednesday where there's just not a lot of Star Wars news overall right now. Mm-hmm. And Ahsoka will be out, Skeleton Crew will be out, and we'll cover it in depth as we always do once those shows are out. But in the meantime, we're going to cover as many Star Wars news that we can up top, talk about that, and then we'll transition into some other stories. And there's, like I mentioned, there's that Supergirl story, there's some other stuff. And what I've found that you guys really enjoyed, at least the when Steph was here, people were like, well, I wanted to hear Steph's perspective on something other than Star Wars. And you get that. You get the stuff that you like, plus new stuff. And Mike, when he was on Capes and Cowls, people loved hearing his take on the comic book movies. So now you get a little bit of a mixture of both now, too. So we're going to talk about the first thing, and that's this story about Deborah Chow. Okay, so this is comic book movie. .com. Deborah Chow was asked about season 2, and she said there's 10 more years before New Hope. That's the quote inside of it. Director Deborah Chow has weighed in on the show's future, and while she confirms the first season is a singular story, the filmmaker appears to have left the door open to telling more. Obi-Wan premiered on Disney Plus last year, too much fanfare, and while the series wasn't perfect, it did a great job of filling in some of the gaps between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. The show even found a way to pit Vader against Obi-Wan, but with another decade between that moment and the fateful day Skywalker found his way to Ben's hut in the desert, there's clearly more room for stories. The question is, will they ever be told? Deadline asked Chow if she's planning to head back to this corner of the galaxy. Well, it was conceived as a limited series. It is closed, the filmmaker confirmed, before leaving us with a little hope, saying, well, there's 10 years before New Hope, so never say never. During the same conversation, Chow reflected on the stress that Obi-Wan had during the pandemic. It was pretty intense. Anything with the background was stressful because we had little Leia running around and we didn't get shut down. The full podcast interview is worth checking out. Lucasfilm President Kathleen Kennedy has made it clear there are no plans for season 2. However, Star Wars remains a big draw on Disney Plus, and even with the streamer looking to curb spend, another batch of episodes would be worthwhile expense. That's to be debated. Alternatively, a movie might be fun, but Obi-Wan Kenobi ended in a somewhat definitive fashion, and it would be a shame to tell just another story for the sake of it. I agree with that. However, if they could find the right tale to tell, not a bad thing. Anyway, that's from Comic Book Movie. Let's. I think that it's so crazy, right? Where you go back and you think about Obi-Wan season one before you and I have talked about this many times. That yeah. This could be the best Star Wars since Empire, and to us it wasn't.
Correct.
Right. So at that time, we would have had a conversation along the lines of, well, if this show nails it and they leave it open, yeah, put season two out there, man. Why close the door? For the way that they told this story, I don't think they need to tell another one. I mean, that's my personal opinion. I'm curious what you think, Steph.
I can't remember what I would have thought then, but I still think I might have not been really into a season two. Just because we open up A New Hope with this crazy old Ben, mm-hmm. that I don't know. I think it like is takes away from the story if there's much more that goes on in his life other than him making this massive sacrifice to protect and watch over Luke.
Right.
So, and then when you put that together with how the season went, which I actually liked and loved a lot of it, but liked it all in all, I definitely don't think you need a season two.
Mike?
I talk now.
Please. Look, I'm very proud of you. What you just did this now. Yeah. I'm very proud of you.
I'm collecting my thoughts.
Yeah, you're really, really well done.
You know, because I'm probably going to say something that's not going to win me a lot of fans.
I love it. Give it to him.
I don't think season one added anything to the lore of Star Wars and the story.
I don't think you're going to piss off that many fans with that one.
It just didn't, and yeah. It didn't need to be told. And if anything, it cheapens when we see him again in New Hope to me. And everyone that disappears, we don't need their story. We don't need to know what's going on with them. It just, there's a mystery to it. Like, if anything, I would have loved to have seen a story without Vader, without Leia, and him just being a hermit, helping people get caught up in an adventure that's outside of the Skywalker saga. And just, you know, when he does see Vader again, it's there. And you know, so no, I don't think we need to see it again.
Yeah, see, look.
Let him be a hermit. Let him off.
I think the points that you have off of the season that we saw is a valid way to feel. I think I disagree in the fact that I think that it's in the same way where George Carlin always talked about comedy, where anything can be funny,
yeah,
but not anyone can make it funny, right?
Okay.
In the same way that like this story, the writing just wasn't good. It just wasn't a very well-written series. And I think that, like, I still think it with a better written story, because you could have written a really poorly version of Andor and everyone would have said, no one needed Andor.
Yeah.
No one needed it. It was so poorly written. It was so corny. It was so cheesy. Who needed an Andor series? No one is saying that now that is really, I really love the writing of it because it's brilliantly written.
Yeah, you're right.
If you brilliantly write something and you really have, like, I was always an advocate of having Vader in the series, but the reason why is I always thought they were going to kind of mirror it around the Return of the Jedi story point, and that was when he says to Luke, Obi-Wan once thought as you did. And people are like, well, he thought that in Revenge of the Sith. When? When he went to go kill him?
Yeah.
He didn't feel it then. And you don't really get that in the Obi-Wan series, too. He just feels bad that he's like, oh, my friend's still alive. What do I do? And he's never said to him, come back to the light, have those moments to where it almost seems like he's going to, like this.
Yeah.
Kind of, and this is, again, this has nothing to do with Moses Ingram, but it could have been any character. Massive error to focus on anyone except those two.
Mm-hmm. Or you have it where you take the Leia thing out of it, and you have so many flashbacks of Anakin and Obi-Wan being brothers and right. Where Ben's alone going, wait a minute, I got to try again. Right. I've got to save this guy. And he goes off to find him and realize, oh, my best friend is gone.
Yeah.
I can't.
Well, same thing. I love
that. Would have worked for me.
And I love that. And again, it's. The actress that played young Leia, I love her. Yeah, she was great in Boogeyman too, but I don't know if young Leia should have been a focus in all that because it doesn't seem like they barely even know each other from when the conversation that she's having and
right.
Obi-Wan, you once served my father, this, not. Hey, Obi-Wan, remember that time we spent all that time together and you saved my life and how much right. Ben, it's like it didn't have that kind of feel to it. It had to feel like, oh, I know of you because of my dad.
Yeah.
And the things that he said, there's so much more to it than, like, so it was written terribly. It was written terribly. There were some great, amazing moments in it. Like, the fight was awesome and some other things. And when Vader was killing people in the village, like that classic Vader and having him. But there was, Vader's not going to let anybody live. He stabs her and then he just lets her live. No, he kill her. That's what he did. I mean, he just until he's you're dead.
Yeah.
And it was just poorly written stuff. So if it's going to be approached the same way, then no, I don't think they should do a season two.
Yeah. I think it's also opening up for even more criticism.
Yes.
And they just should be focusing on what they're doing now, which is their new shows and these movies that it's leading to.
I'll say this. A caveat to that. I would rather see another chapter in Book of Boba Fett than see an Obi-Wan show. Because I think the stories are
doors open a little bit more.
Yeah,
right?
Doors open a little bit more. Yeah, either course correct or kind of, you know.
You could spin it. You could change the perception of Boba Fett season two way faster than you could on Obi-Wan. And there's more risk in Obi-Wan. I hear what you're saying. Because
more risk.
If you turned around, because everybody out there who's watching right now, going, I don't want to see Boba Fett. It's boring.
Right.
But a Boba Fett turned into that thing that they said they were going to give you, that hardcore gangster kind of, you know, into the limits that they can on
Disney. Kind of what Tamura said he wanted.
Well, they said they could do it, and like they did at the end of Boba Fett, at end of Mandalorian when Boba Fett kills Bib Fortuna, and they changed that tune quick. Yeah. You can turn people around real quick, and go, like the way that they did, I haven't watched any of it, but I've seen Picard. Is that what the season three?
First two seasons.
All I've seen with that show, I haven't seen a minute of it. But what I have seen is that hardcore Star Trek fans thought the first two were really not good, or a lot of they haven't gotten great reviews.
They liked one, but in two, they're like, okay, this ain't.
But everybody raves about this.
Three
season.
Is the greatest Star Trek they've ever gotten.
And from what I heard, and again, I can't speak on it except the fact that that they brought in someone who really knew Star Trek for the third
Terry,
season.
Terry, whoever it might be, last
whatever it is, Terry. Is someone who really knew it, and it was the writing. And it was the tone, and they change it, so it can happen if they did it the right way. So, but I think you're right. I think you have a better chance to do that because you've already taken the good story elements out of,
and it'd be cheaper.
Obi-Wan now,
it'd be a cheaper show.
But you know, the other question, I guess, the next story is really saying in the Tamora Morrison realm, if you will, is this particular story with him potentially going into Ahsoka. Right, Tamora Morrison, who we were just talking about, obviously you know him from. This is Star Wars News Net, our buddy Miguel Fernandez. According to One Take News, Tamora Morrison is coming back to the Mandoverse, but he's not coming back as Boba this time. The website has learned that the actor will be playing Captain Rex in the upcoming Ahsoka series, which debuts this August on Disney+. This makes sense, considering that Ahsoka and Captain Rex have a history, After they bonded during the Clone Wars, Rex returned in Rebels to assist the title group in some of their missions after Ahsoka sent him to find Rex and other clones that survived the war. We still don't know if Rex is dead during the New Republic era, but he could be part of a flashback. Also, inside the report, there's a mention of Lucasfilm executives being very impressed by how the series came together, and it was a big factor in Dave Filoni getting his own Star Wars movie. Said film will act as the culmination of the ongoing plot thread that was stated with The Mandalorian that will continue with Ahsoka and beyond. A second season of the Rosario Dawson-led series will depend on how the first one performs, per reports. That's why they haven't made any announcements yet about season two of Ahsoka, because they want to obviously see ratings-wise how it's going to do. I think it's going to do pretty damn well. Lots to talk about. Let's start, Steph, with Temuera Morrison. Rebels, you're a massive Rebels fan. You're a big Ahsoka girl. Do you think this is a kind of like a duh, right?
Yeah, it's one of Ahsoka's biggest storylines from Clone Wars to Rebels is her relationships with the troopers, especially Rex. So I feel like she had the most powerful relationship with them. So it makes sense that they would be involved in Rex in some way. Some capacity. I don't think it has to be massive, but a little bit. I think that's like a great nod to the fans and the people who have watched Rebels and Clone Wars and could be like integrated to people who haven't watched Rebels. And you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense with what was happening with the movies and then this.
How much of Rebels have you watched?
I was
yet?
Up. I started that. That was back when I did Far, Far Away.
Yeah, I remember. No, I know.
Definitely. But I remember saying that. It was right when the start of that show happened.
But you haven't gone back yet?
No, I've not.
Are you going to do it before Ahsoka? You should.
How many episodes of seasons is it?
I think it's four. I think it's four seasons.
22 episodes? Four? 88 episodes?
I don't know if that's true.
Just watch these.
I don't think that's true. I think that's Clone Wars. I don't think. Man, I don't think a lot of TV. I don't think Rebels has that many episodes.
I think they do.
Are you sure? Didn't you start watching?
That's more recent to me, though.
Let's see. How many
seasons? It's more fresh there.
How many episodes are Rebels? Let's go season three.
I thought they were like 12.
Steph's right. 22.
Holy crap, that's a lot of TV.
So it was 16 in season one, 22 in the...
That's right.
Yeah.
38.
That's a lot.
So it's only two seasons?
But it's four seasons. But there's four seasons of Rebels, but it's also like they're only like 30-minute episodes.
Let me ask you guys this.
Oh, go ahead.
Microphone.
Okay, is there a hair on the microphone? Yes, you picked it off. Is that your question?
No.
That's good content.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
What's better, Clone Wars or Rebels? Because they're both beloved.
Yeah.
What's better?
Personal
fans?
Personal preference, I have Rebels, but I there's a lot of people who put Clone Wars over that. I think Clone Wars has some episodes that are just next level Star Wars and where they can go, but I think there's a lot of episodes of the week type thing. I think that some people would argue that Rebels has a few filler episodes here and there, but I think that it's a more continuous through line for me. But what do you like better?
I like Rebels as a show better, but if you go, like, I think the final season 6 of Clone Wars is
awesome.
The best animated season.
Okay, let me piggyback that. And then did Rebels, though, because it doesn't seem like it does. People always tell me with Clone Wars, like, yeah, get through the first couple seasons and then it gets good. Rebels,
yeah,
from
Rebels
the get-go, was knocking you in the nuts.
They're telling you the story right away, whereas Clone Wars is telling you certain adventures that are happening throughout the Clone Wars.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
This is about this band of Rebels, and I think you get attached to the characters a little bit more than you do.
They did in the pilot episode. I was connected to those characters.
Yeah.
I really
and
them.
They're new characters. Other than Ahsoka, we don't know those characters.
And she doesn't show up until like the end
right.
of season one or something.
And that's a cool part about it. Like, Clone Wars instantly had all of the main players, and
gotcha.
Like Anakin, Padme,
gotcha. Okay.
Everyone. This one's like, all these new characters. So they just did more... like, get to know these characters off in this show specifically. So it feels like more of a family, if that makes sense.
And I think you'll dig it also because they use a lot of the Macquarie art. Like,
That's true.
Because Zeb is the original design for Chewbacca.
Yeah, and I remember... talking with Roka. There was a troop transport that was a toy, and they used that in the show that never was seen in live action. And I was like, that's the toy that I had. And they used a ton of that stuff.
They used a lot of stuff. And that leads us into the Filoni part of it all, because he's created so many new characters and everything too. And it's also why I'm pretty adamant, guys, and I'm gonna dig my heels into this. I don't think he was very involved in Mandalorian season 3 at all, because math lines up. How the hell could he have been? If he's working on this series
right
directing a few episodes, writing the whole damn thing. I'm not telling you that he wasn't there sometimes.
Right?
Yeah, I'm not telling you he wasn't there sometimes, like, you know, but his office is there.
Right.
But, like, there's also probably not a mystery is why they also said to Rick Famuyiwa, like, we're going to have you executive produce. He got a big bump of it because Filoni probably just what they gave Filoni the show. And if you're Filoni, he's going, I'm putting everything I got into this thing for various reasons. Right. One, it's my characters. I love Ahsoka more than anything. That's my character. I get to deal with her more. I have someone like Rosario Dawson playing her. I can do these things. I can make a heir to the Empire type story. Plus, what they said in this report, he knows that if he makes the best Star Wars thing made so far on his own now, in the same way they gave Deborah Chow, take Obi-Wan and go with it, they're saying to Filoni, take Ahsoka and go with it.
Yeah.
And he puts out what people are saying, what we were saying about what we thought Obi-Wan was going to be.
Right,
that this, holy crap, and what they're apparently saying, of course he's going to get his own movie. Of course he's going to, this is going to ascend more, he's becoming more, he's getting the emperor seat soon, you know, because it's because he's rising to power. Why wouldn't you put all this emperor?
Right.
So it just, to me, anybody that tells me that he was very involved in season three, no chance. I don't care. Maybe he was, but I
said. But at that point, I think Mando 3, I think the show kind of runs itself. And I don't mean that like, you know, he didn't need to be there like season one
with Favreau
every day. Like, oh, this technology,
that's
the volume, this, that.
But
this,
I'm just saying,
I've
asked
people. How does he walk? How does this? Like, hey, we did two seasons that are great. Okay, I got to go take care of this. You guys got this.
Yeah, I'm just saying, look, I've asked people and they've all said the same thing. No, he's been there. He was there. He was there. I'm like,
sure.
It doesn't line up. It doesn't line up.
That's not mathing.
He could tell me. He could tell me that he was there.
You're a fucking liar. You're a liar.
Bullshit. Bullshit. Were you there every day? I was there every day. I wrote a lot of the episodes. That's what I'm going to say. To Filoni. To Dave Filoni.
Yeah.
Right to his face.
What was that?
He's got that hat on. He's like,
okay. No. You know what he would say? He'd go, interesting, interesting, interesting. That's his answer. Interesting, interesting. Love to get him back on the show. After I've called him a bullshit artist, I'm sure he's going to come back.
Steps on wing, man.
Wait a second. Another thing, before I move on, I also want to talk about Tamora Morse. I mean, this makes sense that Rex would be in this because of the. It allows him to. It would actually make no sense if he wasn't. And with Filoni directing this and writing this, of course he's going to put him in there. And Zeb, we know that Zeb's probably going to show up now too. Callus, this is going to be a Rebels fan's dream.
Yeah.
Right? That Rebels are now. The question will be.
Yes.
I'm hoping that at the point that you watch this show, you also are a Rebels fan, so you understand it more. But for sake of argument, you're not, right? And you don't know enough about it. I hope that when they bring these characters in, you're not like, what was that, guys? I didn't get it. He's got to make it for everybody.
Now, is it still not official that Kanan is in this?
It is official, and I'll tell you why it's official, because I had Freddie Prinze Jr. on this show.
I remember.
Asked him if he was going to be in Ahsoka. He flat out and.
Well, he said no to playing the role.
Well, they're not going to have somebody else play him. Well, because Kanan. Well, I mean,
you don't
again,
think so?
Spoilers for anybody here, because Mike's going to be ruined for it. So, if you haven't seen Rebels, fast forward.
Okay.
Fast forward. You've been fast forward.
I think I know this, but go on.
Kanan dead, boy.
I know that.
He's
dead.
Kanan dead. So,
if he came back, it would be the
I didn't mean Kanan. I mean Ezra. Oh. That's what I meant.
Oh, Ezra's coming. So,
but it's not it's official. Confirmed.
Yeah, it is. He was in the trailer. He's
in a video. He's in a hologram.
Yeah,
but we still that one actor was up for it.
Yeah, but he tweeted out after that hologram came.
Did he?
Out. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
That guy's.
Anytime I say something and people are like it's not official.
I hope he's good.
So I'm just like.
I hope he's good. That guy because I was really pulling for
Mina Masood.
Yeah,
that guy needs to keep quiet.
What did he do now?
Oh, the whole thing with when the mermaid popped up. He's like, it's not going to make a billion like our film because we had repeat viewings and everyone's just like.
Was that
they
recently?
Went after him.
Was that recently?
Yeah, he took it down fast. He badmouthed Little Mermaid.
Wait, why is it a competition? Yeah, why?
Because he tried to make it a competition.
The problem is that
and people are like, that's another person of color in a Disney film. You're going after him. It's like, dude, not a good look.
I think
it was a bad look.
Mina Masood, I think he was so good in that movie, and he's just look. This is the problem with being an actor, man. It's like you have certain roles, and you just can't work. And I remember him. I remember him voicing concern about that he hadn't gotten cast for something else too, and everything. And he just hadn't been able to book a role. He's probably frustrated as hell. And I get it. He's a really good actor, but it's like, that's your same team, guy.
Yeah, you got to play it like right. Yeah.
But
also, he could have gotten more press
I'm
off
saying
of it.
That.
Like,
and again,
another live action.
Good luck, everybody.
And then people are like, oh, we're
friendly
him.
Competition. Let's see, can you guys beat us?
Yeah. Hope you do.
I'm of two minds of that.
All right. Well, look.
I'm just two minds of it.
All right. Take your mind somewhere else.
I'm just saying.
All right. The last story I want to talk about Star Wars before we move on to some of the main topics, the main pop culture movie news topics, that is. Star Wars Knights of the Republic remake has been given by Embracer Group. Embracer Group has given Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake update after months of silence. So what is the update? I'm about to tell you. As part of the Embracer Group's year-end report, there is a section that includes all games that are in development are planned for release from the company from May 24th, 2023. Alongside its titles of Tomb Raider and Ride 5, the Knights of the Old Republic remake is listed. According to Insider Gaming, it's listed for release on PlayStation 5 and PC and is apparently in development at an internal studio at Embracer. It's welcome news as the Star Wars Knights of the Republic remake is a turbulent one. The game was initially revealed in 2021 when they showed a brief teaser. Since then, reports from Jason Schreier noted that it would no longer work on the game, Asper, and that Saber Interactive, other subsidiary of the Embracer Group, would take it on in development. It's unclear what exactly caused Asper Media to put the game on pause, but the game does still seem to be on track for a release at some point in the future. All right, this is one of those things now it's starting to turn into, even though it says that it's going to happen and these things are going on, how's that going for you? Good?
I can't.
What?
What?
What do you think about that story, Mike?
You're an icon.
Dan Breyer now that's a game that everyone's been clamoring for. Mm-hmm. Clamoring for.
I love this.
I never played it, so I can't talk on it.
Good.
Nice. So you decided to eat.
Should run for.
I'm starting hungry.
Should run for politics.
Yeah,
I'd be a great politician. Are you kidding me?
You would.
Absolutely kidding
you
me?
Would. I'm not kidding. You would.
Thank you.
So we're going.
Because he's an actor.
People Fair. Love me. You don't know
the way the vitriol in which you said that also in a certain way. But it wasn't a vitriol towards an actor. It was a vitriol towards like politicians. You're just like, because they're just full of it.
They're just actors. Yeah, they're full really, of it. It's just about like
it's all a show.
One it's liners.
Puppet theater.
That's true.
Theater.
Right. All right, listen
political
to me.
Theater.
Right, listen right. To me.
I think the game is, people love it. It's not for me.
Why is it
not an RPG guy.
Oh.
I'm not an RPG guy.
Okay. All right, take it easy.
Because it's like, I got to level up. Just in this and this and that.
The story
and this
is
and
phenomenal.
But
how far
I know,
along
I
get?
Know it is.
Right, give
okay,
us a,
can I say something?
No. Yes, of course you can.
The story is amazing.
The gameplay's a little too dated for you?
I'm playing Jedi Survivor at the same time, which the graphics are unbelievable.
You're talking about 10 years worth
right.
of
Right, and so it's not fair, but it's a messed up view where I go to it and I'm like, and then I'm all on my mouse, right, instead of being on the...
Right.
So it's, but I think that they should just replicate it almost exactly how,
well,
that the plan to
so
just update it?
That's a great question. So originally they were going to, they there was the announcement for it and then whoever the game developer was or whoever was running it, the woman that was running it said, and I from what I remember, is that she was going to make major changes to it and make it the same. People were like, why would you make major changes to it? And then she was gone.
Okay.
So then there was
love
something
that.
Else.
That love
was,
that.
Yeah. Then there was something else that they were gonna do. And then it didn't happen. Or whatever. And I'm starting to feel this is almost like what's happening with Blade. It's like it's gonna happen. Is it really? Yeah,
that ain't
sure.
happening. I'm gonna say that.
That's,
it ain't happening.
That's what I mean. So it's like, so I don't know if this is ever gonna happen. And I still hope that they just. It goes back to the conversation we were just having about. Like Obi-Wan season 2 and even Boba Fett, right?
Right.
It's why I am so excited about like The Acolyte. And not just because of what the content is about, but it's because they're finally going back 100 years and they're going, Yoda is the only person that we really could use that anybody's going to know about. And we got to build around all these new characters. The Mangold movie, if that ever happens, it's supposed to happen 2,500 or 25,000 years before New Hope, whatever, too. So it sets up all these things that you can't connect to it, and that's why I'm hoping that they do the Knights of the Republic remake because of what Steph just said, right? It's like the story is fantastic. I can go back and play it because I played it when it came out.
Yeah,
I played it back then, and so to me it's like I can go through all that. And my daughter tried to play it, same thing. She's like, graphics are terrible. It's like it's 10 years ago, right? It's 10 years ago, but it's like the story itself is really, really good and should be told in the new medium. Because it'll also reintroduce this era to new gamers and new people. Yeah. So I'm hoping that they actually do it. And they don't change the ending because, you know, you like that woman. Well, we got to change it up. We got to do this. Don't change shit.
Right.
Don't change it.
I just don't think
it
so. Better.
So you just want the old game on a new
add
system.
Stuff to it.
Yeah, or but, make it but, to a movie or show.
Well, yeah, but
I
well,
don't know
both.
About that, Memples.
But both. I think because you do. Because
so good.
Because what you do is, great. But you can change, because you can add, it's very similar to what we were just talking about, Little Mermaid, right?
Yeah, Little Mermaid.
The Little Mermaid, they added a lot of things to the story that I thought benefited the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hesitant on the same thing. I didn't think it was going to be very good, to be honest. I thought she was going to be great. But,
right.
So that is that like saying to me?
No.
Mike, we're going to remake Batman 89. We're going to add a few more things into it.
Mm-mm.
Why not? Why isn't that the same thing?
No, it's not.
It's because I love the story. Same. I love the characters. I just want to see a little bit more
now,
of it.
Now, if you talk to me remaking the book, the comic book that came out, we're talking about two different mediums. You're talking about video game and movie. Remaking a movie and remaking.
You just put Little Mermaid in there.
Yeah, so what? I'm just saying that they add.
Your analogy is terrible then.
You're terrible.
No, well, Little Mermaid was made in like the 60s.
What?
And it's
89.
The Hans Christian Andersen one.
The
did you think it was in the 1960s?
Well, it
the Little
like
Mermaid?
It was antiquated AF.
What?
She's like this gorgeous mermaid with this awesome fishtail with all of her hot sisters
yeah.
and her hot dad. And she's like, screw it. I saw this guy on a boat one time and I'm going to risk it all.
It's a bachelor.
Yeah.
That's, I think, what you and Harry did, isn't it?
I mean,
yeah, you're kind of like, risk it all, move it in. This
yeah,
and that.
I know,
this
but
guy
I didn't have to give
mate.
Up my legs.
Instagram disagrees.
This picture, next thing I picture you is like, Steph, why in a wheelchair? It's like, I gave it up for Harry. Now I got this one.
I love
got
you,
no
baby.
Legs.
Wow. All right, unbelievable.
Did
okay,
she
look.
Get legs to be with the guy? She
I
gave
mean,
up the
her version of legs, her fishtail. She gave up her
all
tail.
All of this makes me exhausted, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because I didn't have my athletic greens oh. today. Oh, I got to yeah. have athletic greens, and I'll tell you why I love AG1 so much. And not only AG1. Afterwards, I'm going to tell Steph about this. I'll be very upset with Steph by the time I come out of this break, and she didn't tell me that her and her prince, Eric, didn't snuggle on up with a rumple blanket. Let's talk about both of them right now. Our next partner is Athletic Greens. I take AG1 by Athletic Greens every day. And you know it's true. I've been telling you guys about it for, God, it's coming up on 2 years now, man. Or a year and a half. I give AG1 a try because Brett kept telling me about it. He's like, this is really good. You got to try it. And I did. And I love it. And I was like, it's green, but it's delicious. It really is delicious. You'd be surprised. That's what I get from everybody. It's like, you're right. It tastes really good. And you can get better gut health, you can get increased energy, immune system support, all of it. And I'm not a vitamins guy. I didn't like taking a whole bunch of vitamins. Now I just take AG1, I put it in the water bottle, I shake it up, done. And it just makes me feel ready to go. I'm approaching that day, I'm taking it, and I'm ready to live. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's part of my routine. It's delivered to me every month. It's been very easy. You make it a daily habit. With AG1, you take care of your body, and it's just that simple. So if you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/big thing. athleticgreens.com/big thing. Check it out. Tell me that you've checked it. That's the one. I see it all the time. Finally starting AG1 today. Finally starting it. Finally starting it. Love it, love it, love it. Tell me and tag me and tag them and tell them that you found them from us. Rumple, 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 rumple. I love rumple. I love rumple. I really do. I love rumple. I've been telling you guys about rumple, and you know I love rumple because I talk about them all the damn time. They're amazing. They're so good, and it's such a great blanket for a lot of different reasons. Like, I don't need a blanket to go camping. Then don't get one for camping. Get one for being on the couch and snuggling up. They do everything. And what's so great about them is that they're made with durable, sustainable materials, and they're built to last. Rumple recycles over 5 million plastic water bottles a year. They are B Corp certified, climate neutral, and they donate 1% of all their sales to environmental causes. The original puffy blanket for them is their number one bestseller, and they have over 1 million of them sold. But they have over 135 unique designs. There really is a blanket for everyone. They're not just for outdoors, as I mentioned. You can watch a movie with them, you can kick back in bed, or you can even bring them to the movie theater with you. Rumple also has a huge selection of indoor styles like their cozy hemp, their fleece, their Sherpa blankets made with responsibility sourced materials, super cozy and perfect to keep on hand in your living room or refresh your bedding. So listeners of mine, go to rumple.com/thebigthing and use that code thebigthing at checkout to get 10% off your first order. rumple.com/thebigthing, code thebigthing. The link is in the description. All right, thank you to both Rumple Blankets and to our friends over at AG1 Athletic Greens. Thank you to both of them. We're very excited. And people ask all the time, how do you help out the show? How can I help the show? Obviously by clicking like, obviously by commenting. But if you're like, well, no, I want to know, should I join the website? Please, if you're able to do it, do that. If not, you know, one-time thing, I wanted to do something, help yourself out. Get yourself one of these sponsors, whether it is Athletic Greens or whether it is Rumple Blankets, and tell us about it once you do it. It helps out the show tremendously. All right, let's move on.
You know what those Rumple Blankets are good for?
Go ahead, Billy, tell me.
Naps.
Yeah, they're great.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, they're so good.
Being an old guy and liking a nap.
I took two naps yesterday.
Did you have a Rumple?
I didn't have Rumple.
You can talk to her about the Athletic Greens. You talked to me about the Rumple Blankets.
My feeties were cold.
I'm the guy with Rumple Blankets.
You did it, dude. I'm telling you what I love about them.
I need a nap. And they just cozy me up.
And there's also, they also have great ones for for my daughter's soccer game. I go.
Oh.
I don't have kids. Thanks for that.
Well, you don't need that, but you have it for the movie purposes. You have it for snuggling.
Don't act like you're mad. That's a choice.
Yeah.
And Al Pacino was 83.
He just had a kid. Yeah. De Niro did it, and I said, "Okay, I might be dead in 5 years.
You know why? Okay. I got a kid. My wife was in front of me, bent it over. She had a great ass.
His wife. Do you know how old his wife is?
28. 29.
It's unbelievable.
29, and he's 83.
That's like you dating someone who's not even alive.
Shut your mouth.
No, it's true.
No, yeah.
Shannon and I kind of got in this a little bit. We were talking, what does that say? Like, you're going to not be around for your kids growing up. I mean, we're just like, it's like.
This guy doesn't listen to shit.
I mean, the kid will be taken care of the rest of his life. Right. Taken care of no matter what. Right. He'll never want for anything.
But he won't know who his dad is.
But won't know his dad is.
Right.
I don't know.
Want to know who your daddy is? Turn on Son of a Woman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey. I'm an absentee landlord.
I want to know, I want a show, maybe I'll make this show, what a couple like that talks about. Like, what's the hangout sessions like?
Yeah, I tell you, it's her going like this. Got about 10 more years, I'm going to be loaded.
Mama not going to want for us.
I love myself some Al, but I mean, look, you can go out on your own terms, I guess, right?
Hey.
I went out my way.
Does he have kids?
He's got 80 kids.
Okay,
he's got four. This is going to be a legacy thing.
Okay, still. He's got four kids and 82.
I mean, it's better than Nick Cannon. He has 11 now.
Does he really?
Yes.
Holy crap. How many with Mariah?
Two, just twins.
Mariah Carey, Nick Cannon?
Listen,
were married. That was I think those were his first kids, and then he just went out.
He keeps going out.
Sure. He's got 15?
11.
You listen to anything anyone says? She literally just said
Shut
that.
Your mouth.
What did
push
I
push those buttons.
Sure. Perfect. I just did. Get rid of your stupid face.
That's not, put that on a t-shirt and sell that thing. Shut your mouth
and push those buttons. Push the buttons, Billy. All right. Let's get to
it's
some.
It's like retweeting your own comment.
That's right. I always do.
More news. So the Flash star Sasha Kale, am I pronouncing that right? Claims ousted Superman actor. Ousted. Real nice comic book movie. Henry Cavill.
Let me guess, Josh Wilding?
Yes.
Of course.
Why does he hate Superman?
He runs comic book movie news. If there's a cheering Marvel article, he writes it. If it's a bashing DC, he writes it. Anyone else, there's like Roar Machine and stuff that are more biased.
Mark Cassidy a lot.
Mark Cassidy's really good. But anything at times bashing DC, Josh Wilding.
Well, he's not bashing it here. He says,
ousted?
Oh, that's
clickbait.
Bashing? I don't know if it's bashing.
That's clickbaiting bullshit. Let's call it what it is.
I think it's unnecessary, but I don't think it's bashing.
Superman actor.
Let's see.
All right. There, I'm an editor-in-chief right there. Relax. I'm your Perry White. All right, great down. Caesar's ghost right there, my friend.
Take it easy. All right, let's get to this question here. Or not question, rather, but the story. Okay. So Warner Brothers' approach to marketing The Flash has been undeniably unique, with the studio enlisting James Gunn and Tom Cruise to hype it up as one of the biggest blockbusters ever made. The studio's CEO, David Zaslav, has gone so far to call it the best superhero movie he's ever watched. And now there's a couple of weeks left before we're given the opportunity to judge it for ourselves. During a recent press conference for The Flash, Supergirl actress reportedly told journalists that she spoke with Henry Cavill and Melissa Benoist to ask for their advice. In the former's case, she claimed that the ousted Man of Steel loved the movie. It's unclear when he actually watched The Flash and whether it would have been the version that saw his Superman inserted back into the DCEU that was shot after his Black Adam cameo. But It was removed by DC Studios before a new Kal-El is cast for 2005 Superman's Legacy. Prior to that, the plan was also for the movie to remove his Man of Tomorrow from his shared world, replacing him with Cal Supergirl. Okay, look, I don't think that was a bashing article. I mean, okay. Look, he was done dirty. He was Cavill? Done dirty, yeah. Not by gun, but he was done dirty.
It was just a previous change. It was a regime change.
Yeah, they handled it terribly. But it's good that he liked it. I mean, the movie itself is really, really good. I'm excited.
Now, you've not seen the full film, right?
I don't know the answer to that yet. Meaning that I saw a 2-hour and 25-minute version, whatever it was. I'm not spoiling anything for anyone.
Don't you spoil anything?
I
won't. For me.
There's a just post credit scene. From what I heard, is that there's a that the post credit scene is different.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So and then,
but you did see a post credit scene.
I did.
Okay.
Now the question though is, how different is that scene?
Right.
The other question is, how much of the movie that I saw is either cut, extended on, CGI is different.
I heard it's like there's several minutes at the end before the post credits has not been shown yet.
Okay.
That's all I've heard.
Maybe so.
I don't want to know what it is, so I didn't ask anything further.
Well, what I had heard inside of the post credit scene itself is that I saw a version of it, and then the person that I was with said, I saw this movie 2 weeks ago, and that scene was different. And the reveal that they told me of what it was monstrously different from what I saw.
Interesting.
So I wonder what they're going to show. Whether they're going to show what that person saw, or what I saw, or what nobody saw yet.
Or is it a combination of it all?
Right. And I think that maybe because of what it does, that they didn't want it to get leaked by anybody.
Yeah.
And they screened it last night. I went to see Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Across the Spider-Verse, there was a separate line of people going to see The Flash.
Oh.
So I wonder what they're showing.
I wonder what that one was.
Yeah. It's going to be really interesting if it's the final version.
They're trying to keep it under wraps. You know, they want it. We got, 2 more weeks? They're like, hey, we waited 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So let's just.
There's a reason, Fry. I can tell you this again.
Let's not spoil this.
No, and I can tell you that I understand the reasoning why they wouldn't show anybody the finished version of this scene. I understand it.
Okay.
If what that person told me turns out to be the thing that they do show, which would be very interesting.
Lots to talk about then.
It's going to be a lot to talk about. So, but when it comes to this Sacha Cal thing and Henry Cavill is talking about someone who, and I say this as a compliment, is a business kind of politician as well.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you think about these comments of Henry Cavill?
You're not going to catch him messing up on something. He's building computers. He's making money. He's making his next moves. Like, I just don't think, like, the Mina Massoud story you just said, hating on anything, especially when it's, like, this involved with business and your future, I think is a dumb idea, and he's not dumb.
It also builds on his legacy of beloved.
Right, he's Superman.
And he and also shows him kind of doing the, you know, turn the other cheek, right?
Yeah.
Where, not that Warner Brothers is slapping him in the face, but you could look at it that way if you were a fan, and he's just like, no, I'm supportive on it, and I support her, and I watched the movie, because there's a lot of actors out there like, you know, look at Ron Perlman, right? Ron Perlman, who I love. Ron Perlman was in no way, shape, or form going to watch that new Hellboy movie.
No.
He wanted nothing to do with it, and he was on Collider Live, and he's like, I'm watching that thing. I don't want to be in it. And he's like, you could tell, visibly, like, F that.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill could have been, and would have been in his right, to say, F that. I'm not watching that movie. They cut me out of it. And he watched it. And he checked it out. And he talked about her. And not that what Ron Perlman did was wrong, but I'm just saying in how this is the way that Henry Cavill wanted to portray himself.
Yeah.
Because Henry Cavill's going to be up for more jobs. And I haven't talked to you about this, and this is one of the reasons I'm glad that we're doing this portion of the show. The Fantastic Four casting, they're rumoring Adam Driver as Reed Richards, which I think is brilliant casting. I couldn't stand when people were saying, they should cast him as Doom. He's played a bad guy before.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
it's the same thing. It's like the same thing you always hear is like, I want Billy Zane or Bryan Cranston for Lex Luthor. Because you've seen him bald. That's why you want him to be Lex Luthor, because he's bald. Like, fan casting, thank God these people are not casting directors. Thank effing God.
Right.
They just casting directors, those are the lives. That's what they do. The great casting directors. They find the people that bring the characters to life in great ways that are outside of the box. So I wasn't a fan of the Eisenberg casting, but it was definitely outside of the box and brought a different take to it.
Which
but
one?
Like,
Eisenberg. Yeah.
Not my choice. Ezra Miller. Not my choice for Barry Allen at all. But,
taking,
but it's a different swings. Take. And they're taking
swings. So speaking of taking swings, this is why I've been a major advocate for Henry Cavill as Dr. Doom. I think that Henry Cavill is, because if you remember in Secret Wars, he takes up, he's a good looking guy, right?
Yeah.
He's a good looking guy. He's imposing.
Yeah.
And Henry Cavill can play, you know, he can play the bad guy. He's done it before. So I want to see him. I think that would, and plus it would be a great move by Marvel.
Yeah.
Getting him from DC. What do you think about it? Yeah.
I think that that would be awesome. People love Henry Cavill. Yeah,
right.
And if you've like seen him in The Witcher 2, he's like good at playing different modes of a character. And I think that that's smart. I just think that that's smart. It's what Gunn is doing too. Like they're all doing it. And I think it only helps them.
Yeah. Mike, do you think you could see him playing Doom?
Doom, I could see it from a physical standpoint. Doom, to me, has to be the smartest man in the room.
More so, pretty damn smart.
I know, but...
Building computers.
Mm-hmm. I'll say this, and this is, again, why I'm not a casting director. My choice would be someone like Mads Mikkelsen. Again, that's why I don't be a casting director, because it's very obvious on the nose.
A lot older,
I know, but... It still would work. Cavill would almost lean more into the Julian McMahon, like good looking, suave guy. And I know Doom's a good looking guy, but I just think there's more interesting choices out there. A younger Daniel Day Lewis would have killed it. Even an older Daniel Day Lewis.
Daniel Day Lewis wants to do it. You let him play.
That's what I'm saying. Even Daniel if you Day-Lewis want to
play older, Superman, you let him play
older
Superman.
Daniel Day Lewis would still kill it as Doom. Right.
Yeah, I'd love to see Daniel Day Lewis come back.
Oh my God.
But either way, so they got a lot of stuff coming out, man. There's a lot of stuff that's we're right around the corner from, like, and I guess I can transition into this, as I saw Across the Spider-Verse last night.
Yeah.
Steph is very excited about the movie. She loved the first one. It is the follow up to the highly anticipated. It's a follow-up to the Oscar-winning Into the Spider-Verse, and this is a phenomenal movie. It really is. It's not as funny as the first one. It's funny, but it's not. I felt like the first one was just like joke. But not in a way that was like
they all landed. They landed
appropriately. Like the stuff with Spider-Ham.
This is my favorite character.
Spider-Ham was amazing, and so was Nicolas Cage.
Spider-Noir.
Oh yeah,
it was the best.
Totally.
So a little less of that, huh? Which I like.
There are jokes, but I just felt like and this isn't a bad thing. This is a good thing that Miles Morales is really, even though they kind of Gwen's a big focus of it for sure, but Miles is, you know, it was more, even though it was Miles' story in the first one, but it really started to focus on like the team.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
This is more like they focus on Gwen, but then they really focus on, and it's Miles' story. It really is Miles' story, and it's a good thing. But it's like the first one had Miles' story plus a big team element. This is really about discovery of oneself. This is the discovery of, finding who you are and what's your purpose and those type of things in general. Not just, well, that's what they did in the first one. Not really, because there's more going on to it. And they did the same thing well that they did in the first one, and that's the blend of the multiverse, to where I think that the MCU has got a little bit confusing with the multiverse, where it's like, wait, this is what? It could get really confusing with considering how much there is. But because the way that they do it and tie it together in this, I don't know how I'm making this is making sense, but it's making sense.
Mm.
I think for a big reason for that is the fact that they know in the Spider-Verse, every single Spider-Man is different.
Right.
I cannot stand the MCU with some are the same, some are not,
right.
Some are animals. I cannot stand that. And I know it's because, well, oh, we got Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. We got to do it.
Some are animals in this.
I know, but they're all different. They're all different. Every universe is a different looking person. I cannot stand that the MCU does that. It drives me up a wall that they can just like, well, for this one, you're all going to look alike. But in this world, all of you guys are different. I'm like,
It's funny, too, because and I can't wait to talk to
Koya. It
drives
me crazy.
Koya, but were you a big Spider-Man? Are you more Batman?
I'll tell you this. I'm not. I like Peter Parker. I wouldn't say Spidey's in my top five, but I do love Miguel O'Hara.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I loved him back in, I think, 93, I think they came out.
You just answered my question because, I'm sure that Coy will have more of the answers for this, but, as I was watching it, I kind of wished that Coy was with me because I could be like, well, wait a minute. So that character, that Spider-Man, is that an actual comic? And then because they show, like, the comic cover of Miguel O'Hara's thing.
Yeah.
It's like this big jack dude. And yeah. And it's like, so how much? I mean, there's so many years of Spider-Man. I figure that they're all real versions of it.
Right.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I mean, Ben Reilly, which is right. Coy's guy.
Right, right, right. So there's a whole bunch of different. And look, there's some fun cameos in this thing, too, is what I'll say. Yeah. So.
I'm so excited.
It's interesting. So
I'm so excited. It's my most anticipated movie of the year.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Is
and then Dune 2.
Why didn't you go last night?
Because I sent an email too late.
Why didn't you text me?
They didn't have plus ones. Oh, you did?
Oh, no, I didn't have a plus
one. No one had plus ones.
That's right.
And so I didn't email back. She emailed in the deadline. I didn't because I just was not on my phone when I got the
link. I'm watching.
Yeah, but it's okay. So,
you're number one of the year?
Yeah, I'm going to see it Thursday.
What's yours, Flash?
I'm going to... This is a little hyperbole. Indie. No.
What?
Mission Impossible.
Oh, it makes sense.
Reckoning.
Yeah, it makes sense.
That's a it's good there, choice.
Then Flash is right below because of Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I love that I'm hearing that it's his movie, Flash. It is Barry Allen's movie. It's not Michael Keaton with him. It's like... Best analogy I got so far was it's... Steve Rogers, Winter Soldier in Winter Soldier, whereas Batman is Falcon and
he's got a good,
Supergirl is Black Widow. Where they add
great.
To
he's
it.
He's got a great arc, and they give him enough time. But yeah. it's Barry's movie.
But it's Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning. Those films to me, Indy is a distant third.
Now because of reviews.
I went in trepidatious. I didn't want another one after Crystal Skull. I was like, nope, we don't need this anymore. But the Mangold got added on, and I heard all the talk, and then heard you had heard about it at the screen. Yeah. But then the reviews are coming out, and I'm just like, ooh, did they?
Yeah.
Again, that's not the crowd that you want to be going for with the cans, you know, can journalists. That's not the crowd that this is their
but
movie.
But still.
Yeah, something happened. To hear that it's a half hour of the de-aging thing, I'm kind of like, I don't know about this.
It depends on how you do it.
I know, man.
It's still my number one, and I'm going to judge for myself.
I know. Yeah.
Mission Impossible's
up
there.
That's up there.
Spider-Man is one that I wanted to see for sure. I really liked the first one a lot, and I really like this one a lot, but it wasn't my number one.
We talked about this, the hyperbole.
Yeah.
So I'm going into Spider-Verse. I loved the first one, but again, it wasn't on my radar of like, I got to see this. Then the reviews were coming out saying masterpiece, this and that. But we have so many people, especially in our circle, that John Wick 4 was a masterpiece of action.
Yeah.
Guardians, a masterpiece that we haven't seen since Endgame. And now this greatest film of all time. When these people are constantly beating the drum of a film as a masterpiece, what are we supposed to believe?
Right. Well, you're talking about The Flash?
No, I'm talking about Spider-Verse.
Oh, Spider-Verse. Well, so
I'm hearing mixed on Flash. I'm hearing some people think it's the greatest comic movie of all time, and those are going, it's good. It's great.
That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at.
I'm hearing tempered. Spider-Verse.
Well, wait, tempered. I like The Flash better than Spider-Verse, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. I like Spider-Verse a lot. But I like The Flash a lot. I think it's a really good movie. But I think it goes back to your point. Before I saw it, it's the greatest comic book movie ever.
That's what you're hearing.
And not just from James Gunn and Tom Cruise, but from people inside of our circle. There's particular people that I read, and they're like, I just saw it last night. Greatest superhero movie. It's not. It's not better than The Dark Knight. It's not.
Yeah.
But it's really good.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie. But I think it takes away from the movie when you're calling it the greatest. Because if you say it's the greatest ever, it needs to be the greatest ever. Well, that's subjective.
And if you're hitting this about every film...
Yeah.
Like, what am I supposed to believe of this? Like, again, I'll make my own decisions, but I don't want to go in, you know, with those expectations. It's like, so.
It's true. Well, look, everybody has expectations. And sometimes you have expectations about your phone bill. And if you want to change it up, you use Mint Mobile. I'll tell you, man, I love Mint Mobile. Very excited to talk about Mint Mobile with you guys. So let's talk about Mint Mobile and not only expectations on your phone, about your diet. Suck some Green Chef, baby. There's Mint Mobile and Green Chef coming up. Green Chef, baby. Green Chef is awesome. It makes eating well easy with plans to fit every lifestyle. Doesn't matter what your lifestyle is, man. You're just looking to eat more balanced meals. Green Chef offers a range of recipes to suit your preferences. You can fill up with Protein Packed. It's their newest collection of recipes fit for a high-protein dietary preference. You can choose from 3 weekly menu items, including at least 40 grams of protein per serving. You can choose from 50-plus weekly menu and market items with the option to mix and match meals from different dietary preferences in the same box. If you're craving more servings from a favorite recipe, you can double the portions in your weekly order just one click. It is the number one meal kit for eating well with dinners that work for you, not the other way around. Green Chef has options for every single lifestyle. It does not matter. It's great. It's so good, and I love Green Chef because I've been getting, and you can turn different meals. I've been making like this stir fried for a bit since we started with Green Chef, and I lick my chops every time it's coming around. I know, oh, I can make that stir fry. Green Chef, you're reducing your food waste by up to 23% versus grocery shopping. Welcome the spring season with delicious, easy-to-follow recipes that support your healthy lifestyle, and it tastes good too. Fact. Try balanced, crave-worthy meals fit for all dietary needs. Bring more flavor to your table this May with Green Chef's wholesome, elevated recipes. I take the chicken, put it in a stir fry. I love all the different, I mean, it's so good. Their chicken is no joke. You know what I love about Green Chef also is it gives you the ability to choose. You want all chicken? Get all chicken. You want all beef? Get all beef. Go to greenchef.com/thing60, but use that code thing60 and get 60% off plus free shipping. Again, greenchef.com/thing60. Use that code thing60, get 60% off plus free shipping. Green Chef, man, the number one meal kit for eating well. After years of print contracts and getting ripped off by big wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So I heard about Mint Mobile a long time ago, and when they said they offer the premium wireless starting, it's like $15 a month. I said, yeah, all right, what's the catch? But after talking to them and using their service, it makes sense. There is no catch. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. They cut out the cost of retail stores, and they pass those sweet savings directly on to you. Quality's amazing. It doesn't break up. I set it up for a separate line. And I'm so glad I did. It's so easy. So easy. And for anyone who just hates their phone bill in general, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text and high-speed data delivering on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/thing. Mintmobile.com/thing. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/thing. All right. Thank you to both Mint Mobile and to Green Chef. Really loving both of those. And like I said earlier, if you are able to, man, you want to support the show and support yourself, check out one of our sponsors, Mint Mobile. You'll thank me for it. The same with Green Chef. Green Chef is delicious. The stir fry I've been making. Ooh-wee. So good. All right. Good. It's really, really, really good. All right. Let me get to some questions here. I want to talk about, I put some questions out from the audience, and I want to bring them up. Here we go. First question.
What do you got?
Do you think that there's any way for them to make a live action Jedi Survivor movie? So a Jedi Survivor movie? No. But I do think, as I said, I got tips, and I don't know if it's going to come to fruition or not, but that they were in conversation with Monahan to do a Cal Kestis show. Huh. I think Cal Kestis does show up in live action. Otherwise, I don't know why you would model the likeness after this guy. He's such a good actor.
Yeah.
People love him.
Yeah.
They love him. So yeah.
Do you think... all right. So I guess two-part question here, Steph. Part one. Any chance they make a Jedi Survivor adaptation, knowing that Lucasfilm doesn't do that, even though maybe they should? And then two, do you think we'll ever see Cal Kestis in live action?
I don't think we'll see a Jedi Survivor live action. That doesn't mean I think it's impossible. I just don't think it's going to happen. I do think he'll show up.
You do?
He's just too liked, and his character makes sense, especially in the time period that they're playing with. So,
and he said he's at a place now in his age that they can kind of age him up a little bit, because I think that the actor is, I don't know, mid-30s?
Late 30s? Is he? Grow
something
a beard.
Like that.
I thought he was in his 20s. He's great. Great.
Yeah, what's his name?
Cameron Monaghan.
Cameron Monaghan, right? Cameron Monaghan.
He's the Joker.
Age.
Gotham.
Let's see. He was. Let's see. Cameron. Oh no, I'm wrong. I was completely wrong. He's only 30 years old.
You said 29. In his 30s.
I thought he was like mid 30s.
Oh no, 29 sounds right.
Yes, he's 29. So I mean, yeah, you could easily.
So
make
you could date Al Pacino.
Yeah, ooh, like a ginger.
No, he can move in once Al's gone.
Yeah.
Take Al's money.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I love Slide Al right so much, but come on, Mike. I think he's got a shot to. I don't think that a Jedi Survivor movie will happen, but I do think that
they love him.
Yeah, I think he'll show up for sure. All right, let's see. Next question here. Here we go. And this is from Dubrica69. How are they going to explain Ahsoka to viewers that never watched Clone Wars and Rebels?
Great question.
I know they're I know that hardcore fans watch everything. Personally, I couldn't watch every episode of Clone Wars and Rebels. Just skip to the Mandalorian and Ahsoka storylines after watching The Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett. I didn't know he had episodes in Clone Wars. It's a great question. I think it's a question that you have to ask. I think it's one of the things that Filoni might be a little... I hate to use the word arrogant, too. But... I know what you're saying. But I think that he might go either one of two things. Yeah, they've watched it, or they'll go back and watch it. And you can't do that, even though he'll give the standard answer of, no, you don't have to watch everything.
Yeah.
But you're going to get so much more of an investment if you do. Yeah. But you can't. But look, you said it just before when I was like, okay, are you going to watch it? You're like, how many episodes?
Well, the thing is, I have a feeling this show, and I think I'm with the gentleman who wrote the question. I think this show is going to be the insider baseball of Star Wars.
Yeah.
I think it's like, I remember seeing the trailer. I'm like, oh, they're going into lore here, and this is going to be heavy. I was like, am I going to be out of this? You got to make it for the, right. the layman, yeah. so to speak.
Casual
viewer. You got to make it for them because.
What do you think, Steph?
I think that they should either make a crawl, which we've all want. I want them to do crawls on everything Star Wars. Or do what they did for Obi-Wan, but even more extended of a cut that they release of all like the primary
leading
moments
up to.
That you need to know.
It might be tough. The only
they're not going to do either of those.
Yeah, the only reason that it works.
If you're a fan who edits, I would make that edit.
The super cut. But I think that the reason why they did it and were able to do it in Obi-Wan was because it was all live action.
It was live
stuff,
action, right.
And the animated stuff might be jarring to some people. But I think that ultimately, what they have to do is they've got to tell what the goal should be is make this as intriguing without losing the casual viewer, right? To where you get enough awareness to that viewer that goes, oh, there's more to this character or these characters or there's this story. I'm not lost because of it, but there's more to it. And now I'm interested to go back to see because there is I could learn more if I wanted to. It doesn't take away from my viewing experience to watch it, because Mike's right. If you watch it and it's like, well, they're asking you to know what's happening there, otherwise you're going to be completely lost, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, I think that there's a way to add a character to that can slyly add exposition in.
Yeah.
Like, if you think of even how Lord of the Rings started, there's all of that. We got the Hobbits here, the prequels, right? That
right.
happened before it. And it didn't feel like we needed to know any of that because Gandalf and other characters added that information in
right.
for us.
Right.
So we knew how the ring got there. Or I just have, like, a narrator's voice come in and, like, describe some things, I guess.
Yeah, that's, I mean, or you just do it in a way where you write it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have, okay, look, it's not, you're basically, like, this is the beauty of New Hope, right? There's a lot of history in New Hope that, with Clone Wars, with all these different things, that there was a history already that none of us saw when you saw it the first time, but it was there. And they can make the history present, you know, and even stuff that it still exists without losing us or losing those who didn't know it, because you can still do that in a way where it's just like, if you start mentioning Kanan in a way, they're like, oh, remember that time when this happened? You're like, I don't remember that. I never saw that. As opposed to just mentioning it in a way where it explains it and you're like, oh, I as a casual viewer now understand who Kanan was. They can make this work. If you just like, if they show Jason, if they show Jason, who is Hera's son, if they show him and you see him, you're not going to be lost that she has a son. You're just going to go, oh, she has a son.
Yeah.
We know how she got that son.
Right.
Now, it just
do you know how babies are made?
No, he doesn't. Let me get away from you.
Okay, wait, what if they did also like an like House of the Dragon? Their first episode was 100 years, or not 100 years. It was like 10 years before, right? Or something like that?
Something like that.
That could be cool.
Like an epilogue?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. So thank you for the question. Let's get to the next one. Alstott 555. Please have Steph pitch you on the animated R fantasy show, The Legend of Vox Machina. I've already saw it. That's the one. Isn't that the one I saw? No. That's not the one
I saw. Arcane.
Yeah, right. This is the Matthew Mercer one, right? She did watch reactions on another channel, and I think that you might like it. Unless you've seen it already, I miss you talk about it. No, I haven't. That's the Matthew Mercer one, isn't it?
It's the
Amazon, right?
Yeah, it's Amazon Prime. Mercer, it's off of the. I'm forgetting the name, but it was a. It was like a Dungeons and Dragons group that did like a YouTube series.
Yeah, it's Matt Mercer.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really good. People
love
good.
It. People love it.
It really is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it is. It's just like there's the one that I started watching that I really liked was Invincible.
Oh, I love Invincible.
And it's so funny. I worked at Skybound and I never watched a single episode. I stopped working there after a year and I started watching.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't anything against them. I just was too freaking busy with Schmodown.
But it's just as good as Invincible. It's different. Like Invincible is, they're both extremely graphic in different ways. Vox Machina just has way more comedy. It's like our type of humor.
Yeah.
Super raunchy and just like outrageous. Like someone's riding like a dick balloon. You're like, how the hell did that happen?
It's Tuesday.
It's great.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, I'll have to give it a shot one of these days. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. This is from Galaxy Hangout. What do you think will be the next trending show? It seems we're hitting slumps in appointment television. I mean, it's a good call. Now, I didn't watch Succession.
I didn't either.
I hear good things. I didn't watch Barry. I watched the first season of Barry and liked it. People were raving about this one episode in season two. Like, they were saying it was the best episode ever. And I watched it and I said, I thought that was just, I didn't like it. And I stopped watching it because of that one episode. And I think because what you just talked about before with the hype behind it, this is the greatest episode of television ever. And I watched, I think it was Roker or somebody talking about how great the episode was. And I was just like, this is stupid. Somebody's running around on a roof. It's like it's like fantasy at this point. And I was out. So, and it probably got much better. But I don't know. As far as appointment television, I think House of the Dragon is appointment television.
I don't subscribe to that kind of thing.
I'm very proud of you.
I just don't. Okay. Like, because everyone loves, like, listening to Ted Lasso for years. Yeah. Everyone's like, you gotta love Ted Lasso. And now people are tweeting out to Sudeikis, F you, this finale sucks. They're raging on this guy.
Yeah.
They're saying that about a Barry that the finale was awful. It's like, I love shit that no one watches. Citadel on Amazon. Russo brothers with
Priyanka Chopra.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's the one with the King of the North and
Richard Madden.
Right.
Yeah, love it. That's my show. No one's talking about it. They got a second season. They're doing a show in Italy too.
Do they have lightsabers?
Love it. No lightsabers.
Okay,
it's great. No one talks about it. It's my show. No one talks about it. I love it.
Anyway, why don't you turn your mic up for a second? So when it comes to appointment television, I think, like I said, House of the Dragon is appointment television.
Last of Us
is appointment television. What will be the next big one?
Never forget with you, and you want to talk to Game of Thrones. I remember I came in, I tweeted out.
Yeah.
The season had not finished yet, and I go, how long before people turn on this show like they turned on Walking Dead? And you're like, we went to
you
Collider.
House of the Dragon.
No, this is back with Game of Thrones before season 8 had finished. It was like halfway point. Yes. And I walked into Collider and you go, you're out of your damn mind.
Never said that.
They're going to finish the show. It's going to be awesome. I go, just watch. Sure enough, 8 episodes later, people were burning that damn show down.
All right, let me tell you something. Here's what I think that you do. Here's what I think that you do. I think you have an AI program inside of your head.
Oh, God.
And I think that you make up scenarios that never happen. I think in your head you won the Inner Geekdom Championship 5 times. I think you defended it 127 times.
No, I only defended it 3, more than anyone.
Okay. But I think inside of that, I think you make things up.
That's true.
I think that
no one defended it.
No
one defended it more than I did.
Unbelievable.
I think you make all this stuff up.
Yeah. I don't know what else is. Succession, there's. You know what? House of the Dragon made me realize something. I know myself better because of that show.
Oh.
I only like happy things. And
I love that show.
Oh.
I think it's excellent.
Oh.
I don't like it.
Oh.
And I needed to come to grips with that.
Okay.
It's excellent. Okay,
it's a well-made show, but not for you.
Not for me.
It's your zen. You got
right.
It's my favorite. Oh, Andor's point of viewing, I think, for us anyway.
Oh, yeah, for us.
Now it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, will Secret Wars be? Or Secret, which?
Invasion?
No.
Why so many secrets?
So many
Pick
secrets.
A secret.
Right. People are exhausted with Marvel right now.
Should have started and ended with Victoria's. That was the last secret we should have known.
I know. Secret.
Oh, my gosh. Hate to do this to you guys, but like Queen Charlotte, anything Bridgerton, Queen Charlotte to me and to the girlies and to some of the men.
Appointment viewing. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Shonda Rhimes simply doesn't miss.
He makes good points. So there's like, what is the next one? And I think that there's a reason. I mean, it'll be something on HBO, I'm sure. We'll see.
We just don't know.
Yeah, right, it'll be HBO like Euphoria.
Last question. Justin Danford 9003. This is a general streaming question. Didn't it make more sense before all the studios had their own streaming platforms? For instance, if there was just Netflix, Hulu, and HBO, and they paid studios for the content and then went over the top to the audience, wasn't that better for everyone? More market share for the streaming service, no streaming costs and operating at a loss after a year for companies like Disney, and no growing service costs for the audience. Don't get me wrong, I love the content, but it doesn't seem like everyone is, it just seems like everyone is losing more and more money. How long before they start consolidating? Is that the end goal? Build something you can justify a large sum asking price for, eventually gobbled up by the inevitable larger fish. That is the smartest person who has ever written to this show. He's right. He's 100% right.
I think to answer his question, the studios are realizing that right now.
Yes,
that
they are.
Streaming was not the gold mine. They made, by getting rid of all physical media, they realized that that was a gold mine that they just gave up, thinking streaming.
Well, they looked at Netflix and they said, well, we can do that. We have enough material to do that. Right. But they forget that
they
don't have
the material.
Some might, but the problem is you start to, the market just starts to, there's so many things.
Yeah.
There's so much, and it's like Netflix has 1,000 things on their platform.
A big thing
HBO has their flat, has a million things. Disney has a million things. So you have to pick.
And the thing is now with streaming is also you've got 2 seasons of 6 episodes. That's not a library of content. That's someone pays $14 a month, watches it, and then it's like, I'm not paying for a couple more months.
I'm going to cancel it, right.
You got to have The Friends, The Office, The Seinfelds. You got to have those hundreds of episodes that they will watch for months.
Right.
And subscribe to get that content.
Well, that's why I have that anymore. And even look at something like Disney, right? Disney, who's still trying to figure out ways to make their streaming platform work.
Right.
And they have hundreds of movies that we grew up with as kids, bunch of different TV shows, Marvel movies, Star Wars movies, and they're still trying to figure out how the hell to make it work. Because this guy's right. It's like, you know, you used to back in the, you know, with HBO, it's like every Tuesday night or Saturday night, whatever the hell it was, brand new movie that was out. A couple months in the theater. Now you can watch it on HBO. It's like there's so many different platforms that you have to pick, choose, spend $13 a month on all of them too. So the business has kind of collapsed on itself a bit.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, if it wasn't for social media, they would all be screwed.
Yes.
The only reason why there's appointment viewing still is because of Twitter, really, specifically, which is going down anyway.
From your lips to God's ears. Anyway, look, there's a lot of different things that we could talk about here, but I wanted to thank you guys. Please, any of the comments, any of the topics that we talked about, please leave your comments and let me know exactly what you wanted to talk about, whether it would be the Flash movie, whether it's Spider-Man, whether it's the stuff about Rex returning, Obi-Wan season 2. Please let your voice be heard. It's one of the most important things on this channel. And thank you for all those people who submitted questions. Also appreciate you. For my panel here today, we'll start with the great Steph Sabra. Where can they find you?
Ahoy.com, mateys. No, just Steph Sabra.
That's it, just Steph Sabra. And Mike Kalinowski.
At Mike Kalinowski.
Perfect. Look at simple. That. See, plain and simple. Remember, like guys, subscribe to this channel. Show a little. Hit that button. And if you are going to be anywhere near the New York area on June 23rd, get your aces there, man. Come see me and Mark and Double Toasted, Brett, Jen, Kate, all of us. Come hang out. Be part of it. For Mike Kalinowski and Steph Sabra, this is the big thing, everybody. We'll see you on the flip side. Peace.